The Holy Gospel of St. Matthew according to the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in Africa, over 1,000 babies will be born with AIDS. A couple thousand more children will die today throughout the world because of easily curable diseases such as malaria. Currently, in our global world, there are wars of ethnic cleansing. There are unjust wars of aggression. We experience the problems of depression and suicide, of drug and alcohol addiction. Violence rips through too many of our families and communities. And this morning I ask, how do you intend to solve it? How do you intend to shine the light of Christ into the darkness, which is sin? The sin of violence, the sin of prestige and power, sexuality used for sin. How do we shine the light of Christ into that? How do we disinfect it, and how do we wipe it out? Hold on to that. To share with you a story. In 1958, there were two seniors at the University of California at Berkeley. They were preparing to graduate. They were looking forward to their future. What opportunities would come their way? This was a post-war world. Jobs were plentiful. The economy was booming. It was there for the taking. What would these two young men do? They would start a business. The business that they formed, out of their friendship, they named the Wham-O Toy Company. Throughout their lives, they had loved toys. They had loved playing games. They were children at heart, and so they wanted to follow their joy. Maybe the exuberance of youth, but they wanted to build, sell, and play with toys. They had many failures early on. They had a hard time getting financing. They borrowed from their parents and friends and relatives. They released all sorts of things, games and trinkets. But poverty, desperation, insolvency, bankruptcy was knocking on their door. And then they had an idea. They remembered a game that they had played growing up as children. A game that they had played with pie plates. They became billionaires because while they didn't invent this, they brought it to market. The Frisbee. The Wham-O Toy Company of California in about 1965 manufactured and sold their first flying disc. They could not use the word Frisbee, because that was the patented and trademarked name of a pie plate manufacturer that they had grown up playing with their pie plates. This was the Wham-O amazing, magical flying disc. And they sold hundreds of millions of them. Just a Frisbee, but we call it this magical flying disc. I got this one from my garage. Me and the girls play with it. Doesn't cost much. There's no great barriers to playing it. You don't need a ton of equipment. You don't need a court or a field or a referee or even a whole lot of friends or a team. Two people. and this simple dollar store item. So why is this important? In the mid-1970s, after they had made their millions, these two friends wanted to do some good in the world. They wanted to share their blessings with others. So they took 1,000 Frisbees and they sent them to orphanages in Angola, Africa. A small gesture, maybe. But why not bring some joy into the lives of children who know too much war, too much death, too much sickness, too much pain, too much poverty, too much insecurity, you name it. Maybe this simple Frisbee can brighten their lives. Maybe for that short time they're playing catch or running around, they will forget the tragedy that looms in on them. So they packed up their Frisbees and they sent them to the orphanages. A few months later, the man, one of the partners, his name was John Bowles. He decided to travel to Angola. He wanted to visit the orphanages. He wanted to bring some money, see what help he could provide, and most importantly, see the children playing with his Frisbees. After a long plane flight, a treacherous drive, he got to one of the orphanages in Angola, an orphanage for children whose parents had died in one of the great ethnic wars that was going on. The nun who ran the orphanage came out. She ran to meet John. He shook her hand. She took him inside. She was a good hostess, offered him some water and food and comfort. And then John said, "Did you get our Frisbees?" And she said, "Thank you very much, sir." And she went to her cupboard and she brought one out. And she held it like this and she said, "The kids love them." And Mr. Bowles asked her, "Well, what did they do with them?" She said, "Well, they love your plate. They eat off your plate. They bring water from the stream to drink and wash in with your plate. They've even learned to catch minnows and tadpoles and fish using your plate." He took the Frisbee from the nun and he turned it over. And he says, "This is what you do with it." And she said, "Oh, they might like that too." He never thought of what this could be. This was a Frisbee. This is what he invented. This is what he manufactured. This is what he marketed. And this is what he sold. This was a flying disc for people to play with. A trinket. An item for beaches or backyards or barbecues. An ubiquitous toy, if you will. But for those that had no knowledge of this toy, it was something much greater. It was a plate. It was a vessel to carry water. It was a way to wash themselves. A way to secure food and income through the catching of fish. It was much more than just a simple toy to be left on the lawn. For many, it was their only possession. Today we have our gospel reading. And Christ is sending some of his followers out. And others he is instructing how to live the life. And what does he tell them? Welcome those who visit you. Treat others with respect. And if someone is thirsty, give them a cup of water. Do this in my name, Christ says, and the favor will be returned to you by God. Small actions. Just sending a Frisbee changes the life of children. Offering water to a thirsty person. Welcoming the stranger. Being the good host or hostesses. These small gestures change life around us. The thirsty are quenched. The stranger is welcomed. And the outcast is accepted. Just through these small everyday gestures of offering what we have to make the world a better place. That's the thing about God. God takes what we have. He mixes it with others. He can transform it. He can bless it. He can multiply it. And He can use it to the service of the world. I began by asking, how are we going to solve AIDS? How are we going to solve unjust wars of aggression? How are we going to solve ethnic cleansing, racism, depression, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse? We are going to solve it through small acts. We are going to solve it by joining together and bringing what we have. By caring about our neighbor, our co-worker. By working for justice and peace in whatever way we feel called to. By putting a little dime in the UNICEF box by the cash register. It doesn't matter. Individually, we are people of small acts. Acts of love. Acts of kindness. Acts of charity. The problems seem huge, insurmountable, large, unsolvable. But do we really feel that way? For those that went to the Relay of Life, there must be some hope that cancer is not beyond our solving. For those of us that pray for peace, there must be some hope that war can have an end. Think of the things you support. The things that seem untackable, the things that seem like a black hole of resources and hope, and yet you still support them. The charities, the causes, the education. Why? Because you know that nothing is really beyond the power of God. That nothing is really beyond the power of our small deeds. That's good news. Because what great skills do individually we have? What great treasuries do we possess? What great power and influence do any of us really hold? Not much. How about that of 100 people? Significantly more. 1,000? 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000. Things start getting exponentially better when we roll up our sleeves and we get to the small deeds of life. The little things. Improving life for co-workers. Befriending the neighbor or stranger. Offering the thirsty a drink. Showing love to the outcast, whatever it may be. In and of themselves, those acts seem small. They seem trivial. But how about 100 of those acts? 1,000? 10,000? 1,000,000? 1,000,000,000? Things can be transformed. Things can be beaten, and things can be made right. AIDS. These wars of aggression, addictions, violence. These are not the right things of the created order. These are not things that we see in the Garden of Eden. These were not things that God looked at in the first chapter of Genesis and pronounced, "It is good." These are products of sin. These are the things that we are called to work against. These are the things that we are called to shine the light of Christ into. And I take them at their totality, I am overwhelmed. Who am I to confront poverty in some distant land 15,000 kilometers away? Who am I to end the war? Who am I without a microscope to cure a disease? But I am you. And I can join with you. And we can find people with microscopes and we can support them. We can find the peacemakers in countries 16,000 kilometers away, and we can support them. And in our own backyard, we can support one another as we work to bring the light into the darkness. Together, with God's blessing, with God's approval, we will take our small things and we will create something bigger. And that is an image of the kingdom of God. Amen.